So the next witness, Councillor Thomas.
Morning. As my colleague has alluded, I'll summarise what I have in front of me as well. My name is Lindsay Thomas. I've been Chairman of Infrastructure and Services Committee since 2013 and the City Council since 2004. Council's tasked with providing essential infrastructure services for Invercargill citizens. This includes sewage reticulation and treatment to provide adequate sanitation to protect the public health, and to provide treatment for trade waste in order to enhance work opportunities and prosperity of the community as per the SWORDS strategy. Stormwater systems are provided to protect the community from the effects of flooding. Following the flood events in the 1980s, the City and Environment South have worked together to address the flood risk, with ICC upgrading the stormwater systems and EES providing river protection works. ICC operates the drainage networks in accordance with asset management plans, which are updated at 3-yearly intervals. These provide levels of service which the networks are expected to meet and strategies to ensure that the networks continue to perform in the future, including operation and maintenance strategies to ensure continuous service. The oldest parts of the network, at more than 100 years old, that has been pointed out to you, and are nearing the end of their life and are being scheduled for renewal. ICC is ramping up its renewal programs until the pipe networks are being replaced at 1% per year. Renewal programs for mechanical and electrical assets have been in place for decades, with these assets having service lives ranging from 20 to 40 years. The pipe renewals include size upgrades for stormwater and construction to current standards. ICC considers that these strategies meet the objectives of the National Policy Statement of Freshwater Management 2014, and that the ICC management strategies for its stormwater and wastewater discharges have been providing incremental improvements over years and can demonstrate that improvement will continue to be made. Each property connected to the public drainage network has on-site drainage systems, which in total exceed the length of the public systems. It is likely that a significant portion of contamination is within these properties, with maintenance being the responsibility of the property owner. Council requires new pipes to be installed where buildings are replaced, and where contamination sources are found will require these to be corrected. Tracing contamination sources within catchments can be a long and frustrating process for staff, and improvements will be made incrementally over a significant period of time. The plan, which is intended to give effect to the National Policy Statement for Freshwater Management, goes beyond the NPS objectives in establishing a framework to require major step changes in quality of urban drainage discharges, rather than continuing the incremental improvements currently being achieved. In the case of stormwater, it does this by categorising discharges containing sewage as non-complying activities, and this creates a greater and is considered unnecessary hurdle for the TAs to achieve in order to even have the merits of such applications considered. ICC's preference is for a specific rule within the plan to provide for discharges from its reticulated drainage networks as discretionary activities. This would enable EES and the TAs to focus on the merits of such consents to enable continued provision of the core council services with appropriate conditions for improved quality over reasonable timeframes. In conclusion, this city knows what its responsibility is to our waterways, whether they are environmental or cultural. As our streams and rivers are at the end of the line before discharging to sea, that is no reason not to be responsible for the care of those waterways. It was recently reported to this committee that the city had a dirty little secret, that there was ongoing sewage discharge into our streams. Smacks of a spoiled child trying to deflect blame from themselves. This country as a whole has to take responsibility for our environment, not try to pin blame on any one individual. When there is a known problem, organisations rally to fix. A classic case being the mistreatment of a large herd of cows. Once the authorities were aware of the problem, they acted. I urge you to consider seriously the City's submission to you today and make the right decision in an unbiased way. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you for that. You can be assured that we take all submissions seriously and not always unbiased. Morris,
thank you. Mr. Thomas, I see in your paragraph 10, you say, your written evidence says that the contamination sources are, where they are found, they can require these to be corrected, but in your verbal presentation, you said they
I changed that to will, sorry.
So we can change
Yeah, they will be. Because, I mean, we don't want that contamination going into our streams. We value those streams.
Right. So can you, well, perhaps this is a question for Mr. Lone, but can you say exactly, give us an example of that kind of thing and how it is corrected in a practical sense?
Well, there's been discussion around if somebody's decided to put in a non-compliant ensuite or something like that, and it's got an extra toilet in it, instead of going into a sewage outlet, they've ended up connecting to the stormwater. And that can happen. If somebody wants to do something illegal, they will do it. And there's no way of fixing that until you find that contamination. But once you find that contamination, you put it right.
Okay, thanks.
Yeah, thank you for your submission. You asked for a bit of tolerance in terms of what you say, like permitting an incremental process of improvement to take place. Historically, how have you measured what you've achieved to date?
We have quite robust testing systems for our water, and while we're aware of the standard that is being required from us from ES, the new standard for E. coli, we are working very, very hard to actually lower those standards. And from 20 years ago, I mean, that was something that was just never happened. It just, our rivers were, I mean, our discharges and things like that, it could have been anything. But now we've taken charge. And we actually understand what we need to do as far as our testing regimes of all our outlets. And but you will never once again stop that illegal activity, as you saw in Nelson with the diesel that was taken out of a car and dropped down its stormwater drain. I mean, it's an illegal activity, but I mean, who's going to get punished for that? Probably the council, because it's allowed it to happen. So we're very confident, the city's very confident that we're robust in what we do as far as our testing regime go.
Okay, thank you.
Lloyd, just two questions. One, picking up on what you just said, you effectively get what you get and have no control over it, what you're saying.
In some instances, yes, you do.
So are you able to regulate the discharges from your systems, knowing that at times may not be what they should be? Are you able to stop or hold or delay? Or
we can put things in place to actually to shut off stormwater. So I mean, if there is a contamination discharge, we can actually mitigate that very quickly if a pump fails or something like that. Once we're aware of the problem, and we do rely on the public support of reporting those problems, we act. Otherwise, we do get into trouble.
And my second question relates to your evidence, paragraph 10. You suggested a replacement rate of 1% per year. Is that enough?
Well, when you consider we have under 300 kilometres of pipe network within our city, it is enough. I mean, we have to get these past the auditors in our asset management plans, and if Audit New Zealand are happy for that to happen, because we do, it comes with a cost. And the only way that we finance anything in our city with core infrastructure, apart from loans, and loans have to be paid back, is through the ratepayer.
I understand that. I'm referring to, you've got, at the beginning you said that there's eight parts of the network at 100 years, then you said you're replacing it 1% per year, and then further down you've made a statement there that says the service life ranges from 20 to 40 years.
Yeah, so you're on paragraph 8, not paragraph 10.
Paragraph 8. So I'm just bearing in mind that those assets could last longer than the 40 years, that would still suggest that the 1% is possibly a little bit light. So I'm just asking, are you happy that even though...
Well, it's like having, it's like having a pipe that's 100 years old. I mean, that pipe that's 100 years old is still serviceable. If we are told that we have to replace these pipes after 8 years, and they're still serviceable, why would you? We scope these pipes. We know where these pipes are.
Right.
So we know exactly what pipes do need to be done and what don't. And you can only govern by the amount of drainage work that's happening around the city. And to do a kilometre of drainage work isn't something that's done in 5 minutes.
I understand that. Thank you.
Thank you. I didn't have any questions, but I just thought of one that I'd like to ask you. In terms of your mechanical and electrical assets, does the council fund appreciation on that?
Yes.
I don't know if you have questions. I think we'll take a break for morning tea now.
Sure.
And Mr. Garber, if you could just remind the witnesses that come, and no disrespect to you, Mr. Thomas, because it appears to me you might have taken a speed reading course at some stage, but the witnesses don't need to read word for word the original statements because we've read those, and that's the whole purpose of pre-circulating evidence. You're welcome to highlight the key points, but just if you could just remind
them. Thank you, I appreciate that.
All right, we'll break for morning tea, and we'll come back at 10:20. Thank you.